Welcome to the Erica Russo Show, where we dive deep into the realms of personal development, spirituality, and the power of the mind. Join us on a transformative journey as we explore the art of manifesting the life you truly desire, all while listening to your intuition. Join host Erica Russo, intuitive life and business mentor and best-selling author, each week as we'll embark on a quest to uncover the secrets of manifesting abundance, nurturing a resilient mindset, and tapping into the spiritual dimensions that shape our reality. Each episode, we'll bring you insightful discussions, practical techniques, and inspiring stories from experts and seekers alike. Whether you're seeking clarity in your spiritual journey, striving to shift your mindset, or eager to unlock your full potential, this podcast is your guiding light.
What is up, guys? Welcome to the Erica Russo Show. If this is your first time tuning in, welcome. I am beyond excited that the universe led you here today. If you are an OG and you continue to come back, you continue to press play, I fucking love you. Thank you so much for being here. Thank you so much for your continued support. And if this podcast is helping you, if it's giving you the aha moments, if it's giving you the conversations that you need to hear, I would be eternally grateful if you can head on over to iTunes or now Spotify and leave a review. Those reviews allow me to get this podcast to the ears that need to hear it. And now, more than ever, I think that we can agree this world is a shit show. And a little positivity and a little insight and a little grounded spirituality can really do the trick. Before you go ahead and click submit, make sure you send a screenshot to me at hello@ericarusso.co, no M, and I would love to send you a free gift for taking that time out of your busy life to support this podcast. So, with that being said, I am so excited to let you guys know that I am teaching two upcoming workshops. The first workshop is going to be on April 20th from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. Eastern Time, and this is a psychic and mediumship workshop. This is intended for those who are ready to finally get pushed off the cliff and start really taking action on developing their psychic and their mediumship abilities. This workshop is going to be a mixture of me giving you the fundamentals that you need to know as far as how we perceive energy, and also a ton of exercises and trainings that are really going to open your psychic and your mediumship abilities up. The cost is only $99, and if you are interested in joining, I would love to have you. I will leave the link down in the description for you to join. The next workshop that I am going to be hosting is on May 11th. This is a trans mediumship workshop. So this is more intended towards spiritual readers, professional psychic mediums who are ready to step in to that next level of their spiritual communication development. If you are interested in joining that, you can go ahead and go down below to the show notes. I will leave that link there for you too. The cost is also $99. So with that being said, I had the pleasure to connect with a fellow podcaster, Tess Trainer, this week, and we really discussed all things her journey into being a spiritual business coach, as well as the creator of the Little Deck of Darkness. I fell in love with how she gave us really the backstory as to how this awesome deck came to be, and I can't wait to share this conversation with you. There's a lot of nuggets of wisdom from two spiritual business coaches. So if there are any spiritual readers listening or any coaches or spiritual mentors listening, this is a really great conversation. It's very candid, very real, and I absolutely loved connecting with her. All of her information, again, I feel like I'm saying this time and time again, will be down below. So be sure to follow her. I will leave the link to the Little Deck of Darkness as well. I am going to buy myself one of these decks because, again, I love the idea and the concept of it. So be sure to follow her on Instagram as well. I hope you guys enjoy this week's episode, and I will see you around the internet. Okay, guys, I have the pleasure today with connecting with Tess Trainer, who is a fellow spiritual business coach, the host of Everyday Witch podcast, and the creator of the Little Deck of Darkness. And I have to say, I was checking out your IG and I saw some of the imagery from your deck. Oh my gosh, it is beautiful.
Thank you. And thank you for having me on your podcast. I'm so excited to talk more with you and be here today.
Yeah, amazing. So tell us about your personal spiritual journey and how you essentially ended up where you are today.
So I guess my journey started probably in like 2017, I want to say. When I started working as a personal assistant for this girl that was creating her own skincare line, and it was all natural with essential oils, but she was very into spirituality. And she kind of got me more into that and questioning that a little bit, and also opened up my eyes to more natural aspects like essential oils and things like that. And then after I left doing that for her, I decided to create my own line of products, being like candles and sprays and things like that. But I didn't want to just make it all natural products because I felt that was like what everyone was doing. It was so oversaturated. So I decided to infuse it with crystals and intentions. And then I got more into that and looking into that and those aspects of what crystals mean, what and what are the intentions of the specific crystals and why do I want them to have certain intentions. And so that kind of just like went hand in hand with becoming more spiritual and getting into those things. And then I got into herbs and healing with herbs and creating my own tea blends and creating my own like smudge blends and things like that. And it just like kept spiraling kind of like we were talking
that's
about.
That's usually how it happens, right? It's like a snowball effect. So tell me, like, what right now, what is the crystal you're vibing with and what is the herb you are vibing with?
So probably for the crystal, I want to say like amethyst a little bit because I'm trying to bring more like calm and peace into my life and healing. And then herbs, I would say I've been feeling a lot of peppermint lately and like an energizing, because even though it's like calming and everything, it's still energizing. So like empowering and energizing and like bringing in that spirit and energy of like getting things done and like waking up and being more like excited about things and excited for the future.
Yeah, totally. And it's funny that you incorporated both of those together because peppermint is a very well-known herb for path clearing, you know, road openers. And now that you're saying you're wanting to bring more calm into your life, it's like you're opening up that portal for that calm to show up. So that's awesome. You know what I mean? And that's like what I love, because it's your intuition. You know what I mean? It's, you're using both of them simply because you know that they will work together.
Yeah. And I think peppermint can be used in so many different ways for so many, like even just like health wise, it like clears your, you know, senses and everything. And you can use it to like just wake up in general, not just like clear paths and like feel energized, but it just helps you like wake up and wake up your body. So I just think it can be used. If you're not spiritual, you can still use it to like help you, like, but it's so great.
It's, and I think that too is like that we're only talking about like the magical properties of it, like the metaphysical, but it's like these herbs, as well as these crystals, have so many healing properties, like, period. They don't have to be like woo-woo and metaphysical. Like, amethyst was a well-known stone for helping sober up, like when you were drunk in like old school Italy. And it's fascinating because like I knew a holistic practitioner years ago that she suffered from migraines, and she would constantly have amethyst, like an amethyst necklace and amethyst earrings. And she said how well it worked with migraines. So, I don't know. I just, everybody like knocks, just like rolls their eyes at this, but it's like, okay, whatever you believe, but I'm telling you, it works,
Yeah, and even if it is like a placebo effect in some sort of way, it still helps and it still like is something people believe in, you know? And I think there's so many things that we don't understand about the way the world works or energy and everything. So it's fascinating how things do help people and how things do work, especially with like the oils and the crystals. And the different like practices that people have, like even like Reiki and stuff, it's like you're not touching anyone, you're not doing anything, but you're still like helping people and healing people, and there's really no way to explain it, but it still works.
Right, exactly. It works. And sometimes I think too, I personally believe that most people, like the biggest lesson that people have to believe is you're not going to get all the answers. Sometimes there is no answer. Sometimes the answer is for you to just have faith and know that you're being supported and know that there are going to be things bigger than what you can hold in your logical mind. You know what I mean? And yeah, it's so funny that you brought up Reiki because I just had a Reiki session with somebody, so it's so funny. But what now, obviously you've had quite the journey, right? You went from being an assistant to then going into your own thing, and now you have a witchcraft podcast and everything. I'm sure you've learned a lot of lessons, along the way, being an entrepreneur. What are the biggest three that you have learned being a spiritual entrepreneur, mostly online?
I would say don't be afraid, like in general, but especially with reaching out and trying new things. Like, the worst thing that's gonna happen is it either doesn't work out or someone tells you no. Like, nobody is going to be overly mean or aggressive towards you. People are just going to tell you no. Most people are gonna be nice about it. So like the worst thing you can do is try to do it all on your own and then isolate while you're trying to do it on your own and not reach out to people and not try to collaborate with people or whatever you're trying to do. But seeking support or advice or collaboration is like one of the most important things. And it's really not that hard. It's just that most people are afraid of putting themselves out there, and that's what holds them back. So I would say don't be afraid to do that because nothing bad is really going to happen. And like, don't be afraid to make mistakes, which kind of goes hand in hand with that because you're going to learn from the mistakes, like more than you learn from, your achievements. Your mistakes are going to like teach you what went right, what went wrong, what to do, what not to do. I've made so many mistakes, especially because like I like to, like, when I have an idea, I'm like, I'm instantly doing it. That's just the type of person I am. So, like, I make a lot of mistakes doing that because I'm like, this is what I'm doing. I made up my mind and I'm going to do it right now instead of maybe waiting a little bit or being more patient or thinking it through. So, like, that is definitely a learning curve for me, is like having more patience and thinking things through or waiting on things a little bit. And then the other thing is like, learn, always be learning, always be curious, always be changing. Don't ever be like stuck in what you think you should be doing or how you think it should look, because your business is always going to be changing and evolving, and that's how it should be.
I love that. I think too, I think that we can get very, very wrapped up in like, well, this is how this person does launches and does their trainings and classes. And, you know, this is a strategy this person uses. And this is what I've been using for 2 years. And then you have to really understand that your business is going to grow as you grow. You know what I mean? And the best thing about entrepreneurship, and we seem to forget that because we just get so fixated on like, this is what I do, this is how I'm supposed to do it. You get to switch it up. That's the joy of being an entrepreneur. If you get sick and tired of doing one offer or one particular sort of session, you can change it as you go. There is no, you know, this is how it has to be. And I think that's one of the positives of being an entrepreneur, right? I'm never going to say entrepreneurship is easy. Never going to come out of my mouth. And I don't think that entrepreneurship is for everyone. But I think that that's one of the perks, right? Is like, you know, say you want to change something, say you want to offer something different, or you want to attract a different sort of clientele. You get to do that. You're the captain of the ship. You get to do whatever it is that you want. And now I have a question for you. Do you know your human design?
I do know my human design. I'm a manifesting generator.
Okay. I'm a manifesting generator because when you
Okay.
were saying how, like, as soon as you get an idea, you want to go, and go and do it. Here's learn from my mistakes with this. Because we have that manifesting quality, we think we're manifestors. We think we're manifestors where we can get an idea and just go for it. No, we're generators. So, what our strategy is we're constantly being bombarded every single day with ideas that like light us up and we think they're genius and we want to go for it. But what we have to do is we have to respond. We have to wait to respond. So if you get an idea, and trust me, this took me 2 years to master. Because like for the first how many years of my business, it was quite literally like I felt like I was like a puppy dog, like just getting super excited over like a toy, because that's how I did my business. And I just ended up completely burning out. What I do and what we're supposed to do is if we get an idea and we really feel good about it and we want to do it, we have to like say, okay, if this is our next step, we have to look to the universe and say, okay, if this is it, you need to let me know. So whether that response, whether that idea comes in a form of like, say your friend goes like, hey, did you ever think of doing this? Or did you ever think of doing that? It's always going to come back to you. And once you get that little nugget of wisdom from the universe, that's when you act on it. And it comes so much easier.
Yeah, I agree. And that's definitely something I learned. Well, and I'm also like an Aries, so I'm like passion, I'm doing it, you know what I mean?
Yes.
Like some things have worked out for me, like the podcast. I was like, I think a podcast would be great. Boom, doing it. Like, or the deck, I was like, I want to create an oracle deck. Boom, doing it. Like, there was no like, let me think about this. I mean, like, I always plan it out and I'm like, is this realistic? Can I actually do this? But at the same time, I'm like, but I'm also doing it because I have this idea and I'm gonna make the idea happen no matter what.
Yeah.
And there's been a bunch of things that didn't work out because of that. Like, I was going to do an online tarot class that didn't happen. I was going to do like a membership business coaching thing that didn't happen. Like, all these things that took me so much time that didn't end up happening because I had this idea and I was like, such a great idea, doing it. And didn't, like you said, pause and see if it was like gonna work out or if it's something I should like pour my time into. But that's something that like I learned over time of like not burning yourself out, not doing every single thing that you think is a good idea, and taking time to like focus on one thing is okay. You don't have to constantly be in competition with other people or even be like in competition with yourself.
I mean, yeah, that's definitely, and I just, like I said, like you said, it's definitely like you have to have a lot of grace for yourself when you are a spiritual entrepreneur. Like, I truly believe that, especially now, because I know that, inflation is just so insane. And the last thing that people are thinking about is getting a tarot reading. You know what I mean? Like, it's just, it's the truth. So you really have to have a lot of grace and you really have to have a lot of patience. But I also really truly believe like you really do need to learn your human design, because the more I learned about my human design and my strengths and everything, the more I recognize like the way I was doing things was just wasting energy. It was just wasting energy where I could have focused it on other things that possibly could have gotten me my manifestations faster. You know what I mean? So it's definitely just like, it's just a crazy journey, man. It really is. It really is.
It is. And you kind of have to be like okay with rejection because if you are, especially if you are that way and you're like, oh, I'm going to do this, and then you do it and it doesn't work out because you just did it and didn't really plan for it or think it through or take the time, then you have to be okay with all these things not working out and still continuing forward, knowing that like you're gonna be okay, or you're supposed to like have this business, and you like it's okay that it didn't work out, instead of like taking that rejection and being like, I shouldn't be doing this and stopping the business.
Right. Absolutely. I think that, like, I think every person gets to that place in business. You know what I mean? I think it's inevitable, whatever business you're in, where you say, like, I don't think I should be doing this. And it's what I've learned personally, and I think that everyone will tell you this, success looks like a lot of fucking failures. Like failure on failure on failure on failure, period. I've seen so many people that are multi successful fail or not have that best of a grade of a launch, or just fall flat on their face. You just continue to get back up. That's all it is. I really truly believe it's not like this person has the magic sauce and this person doesn't. You just get back up. You just continue. It's like one step at a time, just keep pushing.
Yes. And something else I've learned, especially like getting to know people who are more well known and stuff, is that it's so different from the outside versus the inside. So like other people might be like, oh my God, you're so successful. You have such a successful business. I wish I could be you. And the person might feel the complete opposite about it. So it's all like a matter of perspective. And what you're wishing for might be completely different from how that person feels about it.
Right. Yeah, for sure. It really is. It's a perspective thing. It all boils down to mindset. You know what I mean? If you're gonna sit there and you're gonna think that like every time you announce a new offer or you try a new different reading or something along those lines, and maybe you don't get the outcome that you deserved, that means nothing. That absolutely means nothing about who you are as a healer, who you are as an entrepreneur. all that means is that it didn't work. And people can get so fixated and start telling themselves, you know, a story of like you said, I don't think I should do this. Okay. But that's just a story, you know? We're all going to fall. We're all going to get back up. That's really how you got to look at life, you know, especially entrepreneurship. Because like I said, it's a lot of mistakes. You make a lot of mistakes, but you learn from them. And that's what makes you better. That's what makes you a better coach. That's what makes you a better mentor. So tell me, what is something that you are dreaming about right now?
I do have a really big idea, but learning from my mistakes, I am letting it kind of sit on the back burner.
Yeah.
And like waiting for those signs, kind of just like building it up, making the plans, you know, but I'm waiting for the right time to have it happen. But that is something that I'm like manifesting and dreaming about and thinking about for the future, but not going to act on yet.
Have you ever?
Because I'm waiting.
Yeah. Have you ever thought of writing a book?
No, because I don't think I'm like that great of a writer. Like, I know I wrote the booklet for the Oracle deck, but I also feel like that was completely different. Like, it was short snippets, which is totally fine because I can do that. But like writing a book to me is a whole other thing. But that's funny because like a few people have said that to me before, but that's nothing I've ever thought about before.
I think it's something that you might want to simmer on.
I just don't even know where to start with that. Like, that's interesting though.
I think there's a lot more wisdom within you than you think. That's what I think. And I think that it has a lot to do with, I'm just going to go out and say it. Like, since I started microdosing, my intuition has been like out of this world. I think you're going to write a book specifically about witchcraft.
Okay.
Like it's,
I mean,
I feel like it's going to be millennial witchcraft.
Interesting.
Like witchcraft for, you know, what is it? Gen Z? What, like the millennials, you know, like people that have been born. I'm a 1987s baby, but what I'm feeling is like, you would be an excellent channel for like a witchcraft book for like the 20-year-olds, the 21-year-olds, the newly awakened babies, like basically just like a guidebook, but you would write it in a way that they would be able to understand it, you know, because you speak their language. That's what I'm getting.
Okay, well, I'll have to think about it. I mean, I love that, but I've never thought. It's funny because my friend actually owns a publishing company, and she's asked me before, like, oh, have you ever thought about it? And I'm like, no, I've never thought about writing a book. Like, what are you talking about? But I don't know. Maybe I'll have to start thinking about it and considering it more. I've just never been a journaler, never been a writer, never been that type of person that's like, I want to write my thoughts. I want to write my feelings. I want to like just write things down. You know what I mean? Like it's never been something, never been a way that I express myself, I guess.
Do you like teaching though?
Yes, I like teaching. Like obviously I like coaching. I like helping people. I like that connection with people, but I feel like it's really a lot easier like this way, like one-on-one, talking to people face-to-face. So you can see if they're really understanding what you're saying.
I definitely get that, but I really feel like if you go and you get yourself in front of your laptop and you just start saying, okay, if I was a 21-year-old baby witch and I was just clueless, but I was so driven to learn and to really connect with my soul and learn this amazing practice, you would create such an easy read for them. That's all I'm saying.
Well, I'm going to have to start thinking about it now.
Yeah. Pull some tarot cards, you know, who really, you know, but I do, I feel like I'm not saying like this year, but I'm saying within 3 years.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, I will see. And then if it happens, we will have this. Yeah. So
yes, I will have the evidence. So tell me, this is something that I like to ask everybody. Well, first, let's talk about this adorable little deck of darkness. What's the story behind it? Like, how did you get the inspiration? How did it come to you?
The inspiration came from my friend who actually created her own affirmation deck. And I was like, oh, that's so cute. Like, I would love to create my own oracle deck one day, you know, like that would be so fun. And then we just started talking about it. And she was like, why don't you just do it? Like, it's so easy. And I was like, okay. And then we were just talking about ideas. And I was like, I hate how all oracle decks are like love and light and angels and like also like, you know, the positive side. And I'm like, I would love to create something that was not like negative, but more about like the darker side of things, like how tarot has like, you know, the darker cards or like the cards that are like, you, this is what you need to heal type stuff. Like I call it more of like a shadow work oracle deck that helps you like embrace your inner like demons or monsters, because like the card is all about monsters. And so that's kind of where it started, was like, oh, I don't want to create like a basic oracle deck that's like every other oracle deck. And then I was like, I want it to be like not necessarily funny, but like have a theme that would be like not angels and not like demons, because that would be a little bit too on the nose with everything. But something that has like a theme that we can go off of that everyone will understand. And then I thought like, well, monsters, we could do like pop culture monsters, but then turn them into like women. So it's like all the same theme, you know, and it has like a relatable context to it, but then the cards have like a way deeper meaning, but they'll be beautiful and artistic and something that people can just like really look at and connect to.
I love that. I need to like buy this for myself. I love that idea of doing it with the intention of like looking at the darkness, you know, because like you said, there are so like, I'm looking at my oracle cards right now and it's like angels and more angels and all of that stuff. So I think this is a beautiful, beautiful deck. Do you have a favorite card from this deck?
It's hard because there's some like artwork that I just love, and then the like the meanings of the cards that I love too. So like for me, my favorite artwork probably is like the wolf one, where it's like this, the werewolf where she's like transitioning into a wolf, and it's done really, really well. Or the Medusa one where she's like has the snake head and everything. But my favorite meaning is probably either the devil one or the Medusa one.
Oh, God. That sounds so good. And how many cards are there?
There are 20
20.
Cards? I want to say, yeah.
Gotcha. So if there is someone listening who is just waking up and wanting to embrace the witch within, what are three pieces of advice that you would share with them?
The first piece, which I think is kind of like the most important for someone just starting out, is you don't have to know everything. Like I feel with, you know, witchcraft or spirituality, there's so many different things and there's so much pressure to know everything or to be like, oh, well, I know this topic and I know this topic, especially if you're around other people. They're like, oh, well, what's your favorite crystal? What does this crystal mean? Or like these herbs and these cards, and can you read cards? Can you read oracle cards? Do you know your human design? Do you know your all your signs? Do you know your big three? Do you know there's so much, like, do you know what chakras are? Like, are you into yoga? Are you into meditation? And it's just like overwhelming if you're just starting out, where you can just like pick one thing and then try that out, and then pick another thing and try that out and find what like really resonates with you. And then you can just do that. You don't have to do everything or know everything. Like, there's still things like I don't know, you know, because it's not just something that I'm interested in or something I've explored yet. And that's fine. Like, not everyone is going to be interested in every aspect of witchcraft or spirituality or even necessarily like it. And that's okay too.
Yeah, absolutely. I think we all, like, I remember when I first woke up in 2017, it was like that. I needed to know all the things. Like, Barnes and Noble loved me because I got everything in their tiny little New Age and spirituality section. But I think that's the best thing because that really is such a great piece of advice because you're not going to be able to hold all this. You know what I mean? Like, find the thing that ignites you. Find the topic within the new age, the healing, the healing genre that you're drawn to, and learn more about that. And that's usually how, like we spoke about, it's kind of a gateway. You know what I mean? You go from one thing and then it brings you to another thing. And that's really how your path is meant to be. You know, it's one step at a time. So, what is another piece of advice that you would give someone?
My other piece of advice would be like finding a community so you don't feel so isolated, because there is going to be a community. There is going to be like other people who can support you, who can connect with you, who can like help you learn and grow on your journey, whether that's like taking classes, taking workshops, finding like a local meetup or something like that, or even just like an online community where you can like do Zoom calls or memberships or little like coven meetings people do and stuff like that. And it'll help you feel so much more empowered, I think, and like secure a little bit in what you're doing if you see other people that are secure and empowered and like helping you and encouraging you. I think that really helps when you're first starting out, because then you're not like questioning everything and you don't have people around you questioning you as well.
Yeah, it's definitely, I think it comes to a point where, especially if you're going into witchcraft and spirituality, be very thankful if there's one person, just one person around you in your personal life that will be as open and intrigued by it as you are. Because I'm telling you right now, like, the friends that I had in 2017 are nowhere to be found. Because when you start thinking differently, and when you start questioning things, and when you start really observing who you are and the world around you and people's behaviors and your own behavior, you start to realize how much healing needs to happen. And some people don't want to heal.
Yes, and that's exactly what I was going to say for like the third piece of advice was, no matter what you're doing, like when you start on that journey, healing is a part of that journey. So you're going to have to heal, you're going to have to work through a bunch of stuff, you're going to have to acknowledge it, but that's part of the process and that's part of the magic, is like healing yourself, healing within, and then you'll be even more powerful, you'll be even more empowered, and you'll be even more like secure in what you're doing.
Yeah, absolutely. So, guys, I will have the link to go check out the Little Deck of Darkness on Tess's website. I'm definitely going to go check it out myself. Tess, thank you so much for coming on and sharing all your wisdom with us. I will also have all of her social media handles as well down there, so you can check her out on Instagram as well.
Thank you so much. I had such a great time talking with you.
Loved it too, babe. Bye, guys.